Anybody in here with a problem? Anybody in here with a problem? That's a real question. This is not like a rhetorical. All right, put your hand up. Put your hand up. Put your hand up, yeah. Anybody in here with a problem? Yeah, we have a problem. We all have problems, right? Some of us have medical problems, physical problems, mental problems, social problems, financial problems. Relational problems, workplace problems, school problems. We all got problems. But I promise you, if you endure, if you just hold on, it's going to be all right. Amen? Amen? I'm going to believe that for you, and I want you to believe that for me. Amen? All right. A little bit more, Arthur. My voice is like gone. Lisa did it. It's her fault. So a little bit more would help me. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Come on. Happy Sabbath, everyone. I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm actually conflicted because about 60% of me wants to preach and about 40% want to teach. All right. So I asked them, put the podium down here and we'll see what happens. It is my intention that you leave here with something this morning that will impact you, not just for today, all right? It will impact you for the rest of your life. last week, good morning. At the very end of Good Morning last week, there was a question that was asked. And I'm going to rephrase the question. And, you know, because we were out of time, the question was not addressed. All right? I'm going to rephrase it. The individual, I believe, who asked the question isn't here. But I wanna quickly restate the question, and I'm going to provide. I'm gonna try and satisfy that question. All right. So the question was asked, and the question was about the changes in the SDA Church over generations, things that we now do that we didn't do before. Anybody remember the question? Who was here? All right, good. So I'm just rephrasing the question. It was just changes that's been happening in the church over the years, and things that we don't, you know. He actually gave examples of things that we now do that didn't happen before. Now, a question like that left unanswered is very. I completely understand why we had to move forward, but a question like that. Left unanswered or addressed is very dangerous. And I'll tell you why it's dangerous. It's because the devil is actively, don't believe that the devil isn't here. Right? Whenever you show up and say Jesus, the devil shows up too. He shows up through your phones. He shows up through the individual sitting next to you. Right? To your right, to your left, maybe behind or in front of you. I'm not calling y'all devils now. I'm just saying the devil will use whatever tool that he has to distract and to pull you away from where you need to be. And so I'm going to quickly, before I get into word, don't start my sermon clock yet. This is just, right? So don't say I was up here for 5 hours. Don't do that. Right? So the question, you know, changes over the years. And things we used to do that we don't do, what are your thoughts about that? That question was staked to Ricky. So when y'all see Ricky, tell him he owes me a dinner from Ruth's Chris, Tracy, okay? All right, so there is, if you don't know, I'm not going to go in the whole the history of the Adventist Church, but there is a document. It is called the Seventh-day Advent Accords. And this document holds the eight things that when they first met. It is essentially a minutes. It's a record of minutes when they first met, and they're like, yeah, you know, these are the things we believe, so we're going to start our own organization. There are eight things. Just real quick. Anybody, I'm going to give you the headings of these eight things. If you've read this, raise your hand. Now, and the reason I ask that question is because I've never read it myself. I've heard it. We had just had GC, General Conference, in last month, right? Where they elected new leaders for the church. I've been in the church like a very long time, and I've heard it at the very least, I can remember twice I've heard it. I've heard these things twice in settings like that. I've never read it for myself until I was preparing this message. Right, so I'm gonna give you these eight things. These are the eight things that the group of people met. They're like, yeah, this is what we believe. And these things I have verified are all biblical. Right, eight things. Number one, they agreed that we believe in the great controversy. What is that? Real quick, it is essentially the battle between good and evil. It's Jesus and Lucifer, Satan, right? That's it. We believe in the great controversy. I'm giving you this in the order that it was actually written. All right? We believe in a non-creedal and denominational. This simply means that they said our intention is not to form a denomination. We want to be inclusive, right? Inclusive and foster an environment, a place where everybody, Catholics, whites, blacks, everybody could come and believe, receive the gift of salvation, right? This is what they said originally. I'm just giving it to you. We believe in free will. Now, just real quick, just shout it out. When I say free will, what immediately comes to mind? Freedom of choice. That's not what we're talking about. The free will in a time, I want you to get this, picture this. In a time when they met, and this is not even a sermon. Why am I spending time on this, Lord? In a time when they met Robert, it was a lot going on. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot, whites, blacks, slavery coming out. I mean, it was a whole lot going on. Right? Even in the church, you know, a black person couldn't present to a white congregation or vice versa. Right? And so as you read the body under free will, it explains essentially what we now call social justice. They said the Adventist Church, we as the Seventh-day Adventist organization believe that we ought to speak up for the unjust. Now, you could argue that our leaders have since gone away from that. But at the very beginning, this is what was written. This is what they agreed on, free will. The fourth thing, they believe in the gospel. What's the gospel, everybody? The gospel of Jesus, what's that? What does that mean? The what? The good news. They believe in the second coming of Jesus. Number five, number six, they believe in the Sabbath. I keep saying they. Right? Number seven, the three angels' messages. Anybody know where the three angels' messages taken from? You don't know? Revelation what? How many angels are in Revelation 14? All right, we're going to get to it. And the last thing They believe non-immortality of the soul. In other words, when you die, you don't go to heaven. We believe that the body goes into earth, and you know, a lot of authors, including, I'm not an author, but I call it sleep. They sleeping. And then when God comes, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. If you go to heaven after you die, who going to rise up? Who? When God say get up, who going to get up? Right? So those are the things that originally we believe. And the reason I bring that up is because we as, and Elder Smith preached on this maybe 3-4 weeks ago, as a group, as a body, as a people, we get so lost in culture and traditions that, get this, it's not even our own. A lot of the traditions we uphold, a lot of the culture that we uphold, I'm not saying it's not important, but it's not even our own. It's not even from, I'm gonna say, Africa. Right? And so I want us to be careful. I want us to be very careful in losing sight of what your assignment is, of what God is calling you or us to do. Thinking, I'll give you a quick example. I was in church many, many years ago, you know, singing, "We give thee but thine own." And in came Daph, in came a young lady, and she was wearing, how can I say this? An inappropriate shorts, right? And bro, when I tell you, I judged the life out of her. This is what I did. I'm like, how dare you wear that to the Holy of Holies? How dare you wear that to church? Now, I don't know her name. I don't know where she was coming from. I don't know her situation, right? And I'm praying to God, not just for forgiveness, but that, because sometimes your face says what you're thinking. So even though I didn't say anything, I pray to God that she didn't see anything on my face that would cause her to turn away. And that showed my spiritual immaturity. It shows that I wasn't ready, or I wasn't capable, or I hadn't been doing my studies, or I haven't been spending one-on-one time with God for him to reveal his love properly through me. But instead, what I portrayed on her was things that I had seen myself, things that I endured myself, things that I, the customs, things I grew up, you grew up in a certain setting, you're going to automatically think that way. And so I believed at that point that you ought to look a certain way. But the thing with the hospital, and I happen to work at one, when you're sick, Chris, when you're sick, I'm so happy. I'm every time I see you, bro, I'm very grateful. Somebody don't know, God saved his life during COVID. You know what I'm saying? He could have not been here right now, but Jesus said no. And so I'm very grateful that you're alive and you're still with us. Thank you for being here today. What was I saying? I don't know. When you go to the hospital, you're sick. You don't care about what. As a matter of fact, if you're in a very expensive Louis Vuitton or whatever the new brand is, they're going to cut that thing off to get to where they need to get to anyway. Right? So focused. Should be different. The question shouldn't be that the church is evolving in a way where it now looks different. And I've heard this before, and I'm not saying this is what he is saying, but we got to be careful. I heard before in church somebody saying Ellen White wouldn't be proud. In church. And when we say those things, when we portray those things, we've lost sight of exactly what God, this is a hospital for the sick. And I asked, who got problems? And just about everybody put their hand up. The great physician, the problem solver, isn't me. It's Jesus. And he's going to address what he needs to address. Let him do it. Amen, everybody? All right. Stand with me. You can start a clock now. Stand with me as we read the scripture reading. Jason, I'm actually going to change the scripture reading. I'm going to change it just because of... I got to remind myself where this is taken from now. I think it's Romans. Nope, it's not Romans. Well, anybody know I go to prepare a place for you? Where's that? Where's that at? John? John? All right. Jason, could you find it? John chapter 14, I think. John chapter 14. I'm going to put it on the screen. And I want us to read from verse 1 to like maybe 3. All right? John chapter 14. I want us to read powerful. I want us to read loud. All right? Here we go. Here we go. After 3, it's on the screen. After 3, 1, 2, 3. All right, next verse. In my Father's house are? Yes. Keep going. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? I will what? I will what? Stop right there. Sit down. My topic this morning is it's in your mouth. So turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor. Say, what's up? It's in your mouth. All right, turn to the next neighbor, but you gotta say it with life. You gotta say it with conviction. You know, even when you don't know what I'm talking about, you're gonna learn here in a second. Say neighbor. Neighbor, it's in your mouth. All right, all right. There's been so many things happening in our country over the past month. On July 4, something very interesting, and some may even say powerful, took place. July 4. July 4 is what? Independence Day. Right? On Independence Day, the president signed into law what is properly called Public Law 119-21. And the popular name for that law or that bill is the Big Beautiful Bill. Right, but the proper name. So you ever go to the voting station and you see 119, law 119-21, it's in reference to this. And I took from the New York Times some bullets, some highlights as to what some of the things that this law covered. It says... And the author in the New York Times, and I actually listened to it myself. I listened. You can actually pull that bill down, and you can play it in a particular AI software. So you can listen. It's very lengthy. It's very long. You can listen it yourself. But I want to give you here some bullets, some things that it covers that I believe as a church we should know. Number one, it says 17 million Americans... it's going to be kicked off. We'll be kicked off healthcare, and 1.6 of them is right here in the state of Florida. All right? Another thing you know, that's going to happen is $186 billion of food assistance programs will be cut, including free lunches for the kids that need it in public schools. That will be eliminated. This part here this caught me. Your electric bill, whether you're a Duke, FPL, whatever other options they have, it says here it will increase to a minimum of $168 per month additionally. Right, so whatever your cost is now, if right now you're paying $10 for electric bill, they're saying, you know, that the bill will go up $168, right? Average. It says $1 trillion was given to $1 trillion was given as tax cuts to billionaires, and there are 800 billionaires in America. This part also got me, which is the last one. 435, Lisa, hospitals. 435 hospitals will have to close. 435. And so you have healthcare leaders right now meeting because the number one payer of healthcare is the government. And what are they going to do when they're not able to provide adequately the service the public need? A poll was done, and they asked the question. One of the pollsters asked, one of the person taking the poll asked if there was statistics on the amount of deaths, and they weren't able to give that answer. We don't know yet how many thousands or millions of people that will die as a result of this. And the reason I think it is important that we have a space where this is taught and discussed and properly discussed in the context of the Bible, is because it affects the work that we need to do. Y'all with me? It affects the work that we need to do. And so I heard, after listening to a particular podcast, them talking about the damages or the dangers or the information as it relates to this bill and the different things it will affect. And they kept saying, yeah, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Yeah, it's a sign. Jesus is coming, which makes me wonder, do we know the signs? Do we know the signs? All right, I want y'all to go with me. Jason, help me out here. 2 Timothy, we're going to be like, that's why it's going to be a little bit of preaching, a little bit of teaching. All right, everybody? Okay, everyone? Y'all tired? Y'all tired? Y'all tell me if you're tired. I'll close right now. Okay. All right. So 2 Timothy, and turn your Bibles. I'm going to ask y'all to read. Can y'all read? I'm going to ask y'all to read. Nate and Diego, come help me out. All right. Just bring the mic to the person with the that raised the hand. All right. First person, I want y'all to read 2 Timothy. It's on the screen, but you can pull it up on your phone. 2 Timothy, and we're in the book chapter 3, and we're going to start from verse 1. First reader. Soli, all right, cool. If you don't volunteer, I'm going to volunteer you. I need a second reader. Can you got me? Second reader? All right. So raise your hand, Soli. Raise your hand. Right there. It's just right there, Jacob. All right. Put your hands together for my two helpers. Yeah. All right. I want you to read, Soli, from verse 1. We're not starting at verse 1. Are we? Chapter 3, verse 1. Yeah, we are. All right. Read from verse 1. I want to go to Luke. Let's go to Luke first. Luke 21. And we're going to read verses 25 solely. Luke 21, 25 to 28. And then you got me in the back, verse 34 to 36. All right? Luke 21. 25 to 28. Luke, you got me? Go ahead.
Luke 21, the coming of the Son of Man. And there will be sign in the sun, and the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves warring, men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
For the powers of the heavens will be shaken.
Will be what?
Will be shaken.
All right.
Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power of and great glory.
All right, all right.
Now when they see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near.
All right, all right. I want you to read that again slowly. I want you to slow down, okay? I want you to slow down. Read that last part again. Now.
Now, uh-huh. When these things begin to happen.
When these things begin to happen.
Look up.
Uh-huh. What are we supposed to do?
Look up.
Look up.
And right? Lift up your heads.
And lift up your heads.
Because your redemption draws near.
All right. So because Jesus is coming? Because Jesus is coming?
Yeah.
Hello? Because Jesus is coming?
Yes.
What does it say? Because what?
Your redemption draws near.
All right. I want y'all to talk back to me. Don't be afraid. It's okay. If you're wrong, I'm going to help you out, okay? Let's go down to 34 to 36.
But take heed to yourself, mm-hmm. lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man.
All right. So what's happening here is that I recently had a baby boy. And is going in going through this, one of the things, I'm not even in the thing. Wow, Sam, wow. And going through this, being pregnant, and ladies who've been down this road can attest to this, there is something Lisa called Braxton Hicks, right? Now, Braxton Hicks does not mean the baby is coming, right? The Braxton Hicks, you can sit down until, can sit down. No, hold it. You're not done yet. Don't be quick to quit. Sit down. Right? So the Braxton Hicks isn't a sign that the baby is coming. It is a sign, Tracy, that you're about to get some more signs that the baby is coming. It's the sign for the real signs. The body is getting ready, right, for the real contractions. Right? It is the what? The what? The prequel. Appreciate y'all help me. Right? It's the prequel. Right? And so what we ought not to be confused with the Braxton, this Braxton Hicks. All the things the Bible tells you, these things will happen. And when you see these things happen, it's near. It's close. It is close. But the one thing for sure, and I'm going to get to it. The Bible tells us exactly what's going to happen before the coming of the Son of Man. And this is how it ties into what I was speaking to before. It is God's intention to save only a few. Right? Right, Dominique? For God so loved the world. That he gave what? His only begotten Son. That whosoever believe in him should not die, but live with him forever. And so what we do as Seventh-day Adventist Christians is that we take that for God so loved the world. And we put, for God so loved a few people. And we don't do that with our words, but we sure do it with our actions. Because we're very quick to beat someone over the shoulder that don't look like you, that don't talk like you, that don't act like you. We use traditions and cultures to preach and say, this is, I heard this one lady said, yo, God wouldn't be pleased. And I was so quick. They weren't talking to me. That's why I didn't. Yeah, I was just there. I was close by. I was like, how you know? It's like judging. Can I be real? Can I be real? It's like judging someone that tells you, yeah, I'm 500 pounds. And you immediately think, gosh, you're so unhealthy. But you don't know they're coming from 850 pounds. You don't know that. You don't know their story. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know the makeup in their body. You don't know the trauma they went through. You don't know the chemicals or the hormone imbalance in there. You don't know. And so we do something in contrary to what God is trying. God is trying to say, open the door, save everybody. No, close it. Just a few. And so we make it so difficult for people to be baptized. We make it so hard for people to say, I just want to serve. I just want to serve. And I'm not, hear me now. Let the Spirit move inside here, Jesus. I am not, this is not a condemnation on what or body or leaders or organization, what they believe to be true. This is an indictment on every single person that prevents the gift of salvation. Anything you do or don't do that's preventing the gift, it's a gift. It's a what, everybody? There is nothing that you could do to earn it. It's a gift. And all you got to do, I'm about to step on some toes right now. Lisa, I can prove to you right now in the Bible, you don't even have to say, Lord, forgive me. I can prove it right. Jesus, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to prove it using Paul or Genesis. I'm going to use Jesus himself. The thief on the cross. You turn to your Bible, not even mine, and show me when he said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Ellen White tells us in great detail, this guy was a career thief. And back then, you got to understand, a thief was not just a thief. A thief was a murderer and a murderer. And a thief wasn't not just a murderer, but a thief was also a murderer and a rapist. Let's put it in the context here. And the thief was on the cross beside my Savior, your Savior. And he looked at every single person, at every single thing that was happening. And he was about to die. And all he said was, remember me. Remember me. And what's more important is that there wasn't a committee meeting. What's important is that Jesus welcomed him with open arms. He said, yeah. And God don't lie. Jesus don't lie. He said, today, I promise you, you will be in paradise with me. And that tells me, if your heart is in the right place, Jesus want to save every... You see, a restoration is the process of restoration is to Jesus is wanting to restore us to what? Not a version of you that's not broken emotionally. He wants to restore to what the original intention was at the very beginning of time. When he said, I'm gonna create man because I love man. And he went down in the dust and he formed us. And then he breathed his life, his breath into us. When he says, I'm going to restore mankind because the first Adam failed. So I'm going to come as the second Adam and I'm going to restore you back to how I made you to begin with. It's for everybody, every color of people, every type of people, no matter how you dress, no matter how, it's a gift. He died for every single person. And we ought not to get, you see, the problem is, we've been saying for a very long time, Jesus is coming. Let me ask you this, when is the last days? When did the last days started? Are we in the last days? We're in the last days. When did it start? 1844, all right. What'd you say in the back? 1844, anybody else? When did the last day start? What do you think, Dom? What do you think? When did the last day start? When he was crucified? All right, I'm not going to do it anymore. Come on, man. Come on, yo. It's not just, I almost hit Lisa. I'm sorry. It's not just when he was crucified, Dom. It's when he was crucified, but when he resurrected. Did Paul not preach that we're living in a what? Huh? Paul said it in the Bible. So we've been saying for years upon years, take heed, Jesus is coming. Take heed, Jesus is coming. He ain't here yet. Okay, what are the signs? COVID. Oh, Jesus is coming now. It's COVID. Thunderstorms after thunderstorms, hurricanes after hurricanes. There's flood in Texas. There's fire in Canada. Canada is cold. Why is there fire in Canada? I don't know. It's global warming. Jesus is coming. We've been saying this for years. Why is it that Jesus isn't here yet? Huh? Somebody say mercy. And somebody say what? He wants to what? All right. You read my script. You read it. You read it. Let's go back in the Bible right now. Let's go back in the Bible. Let's go back to First Timothy. Yeah. Second Timothy. I need two more readers. Volunteer, or else I'm going to call on you. Two readers. One on this side. All right, Kevin in the back. We can take one on. Soli did this. So, all right, let's go. Somebody on his side. You read? Nah, because your granddaughter reads. I want somebody else. Let me tell y'all something. If you don't look at me, I'm going to call on you. All right? If you don't look at me, I'm going to call on you. So you might as well look at me. You got me? You got me, David? All right, cool. So we're going to read from verses 1, and we're going to go down to 12. Now, guys, take out your Bibles. Don't even listen. I want you to read along, right? Because the reason that we end up doing some of the things we do is because we don't spend adequate and quality time in the Word of God. I want you all to listen what the Bible is saying here, what's God saying here as it relates to the coming of the Son of Man. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Right? And Kevin, you got me? Start? All right, so let's go. Are we all there? Or are we looking on the screen? Or was some of us looking on the screen? Some of us. All right, cool. All right, here we go.
But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come.
All right.
For men will be lovers of themselves,
uh-huh.
Lovers of money,
uh-huh.
Boasters,
mm-hmm.
Proud,
mm-hmm.
Blasphemers,
mm-hmm.
Disobedient to parents.
Have mercy, Lord. Keep going.
Unthankful.
Uh-huh.
Unholy.
Uh-huh.
Unloving.
Yes.
Unforgiving.
Uh-huh.
Slanderers. Without self-control.
Without self-control.
Brutal.
Mm.
Despisers of good.
Mm.
Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power.
Okay. Now, that right there, you know why that is very... You know why you probably read this 1,000 times, but sometimes reading it and studying it within a particular context, it just hits you different, Sasha. It just hits you different. You've probably heard me say this. One of my biggest pet peeves or just problems that I wrestle with God about is that why is your power why is it not more prominent in our church? Why don't I see the manifestation of your power in your church? Why don't I see the lame walk? Huh? Why don't I see the blind see? Now, I see it from time to time, but why don't I see it all the time? If you're that powerful, which you are, why is it that you would come to church feeling empty and leave feeling empty? Why? And the Bible is saying here, right, that in the last days, that will be unthankful and unholy and children will disobey their parents, and traitors. Now, let me ask you this. Can your enemy betray you? Can your enemy betray you? Huh? Can your enemy betray you? I promise you, it's not a trick question. It's not. Can you? Why? He's your enemy. Right? And so this is telling you right here that we will, people that you worship together with, people that you sing songs of praise with, people that you do community service with, people that you go out and you bless others and you visit the sick with. The Bible is saying right here is that, yo, we're going to betray each other. And when you see these things happen, you know we're living in the last days. And then it goes down right before Kev stopped. It says that. Come on, computer. Don't play with me right here. All right. It says that the verse. Where you are, Kev?
Having a form of godliness.
Having a form of godliness. But really never experiencing the power of God. And I ask you right here, this is not my appeal, but I ask you right here, that this, if this does not cause you to ask the question, Lord, do I have a form of godliness and not your power? If that don't cause you to ask that question, then you're playing Christian. Let's go. Let's keep reading.
For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly woman laden with sins, mm-hmm. led away with divers lusts, mm-hmm. ever always. Learning, yeah. and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Wow. So you're always in Bible study. You're always studying. You're reading books. You know what I'm saying? You're reading a Bible commentary. You're listening to pastors. You're taking notes. You're always learning. But you never get to a place of truth. And what is truth? Huh? What is truth? God is coming back. He's gone to prepare a place for you. And not just you as in you, but you as in everybody. There is an address in heaven for you. And so you're always learning. You're always deep in study. You're always, and a matter of fact, I've seen some people, they study so much that they find themselves outside of God. You get to the place where you know too much. No, that's not logical. But you know God logical? Huh? God logical? Somebody asked Jesus a question that he went down and write in the sand. That's logical? Huh? I don't know about your life, but it's a plethora of things. I could go all day. Ain't nothing practical or logical about some of the things that God has done in my life. Keep going, David.
Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Mm. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, mm-hmm. as theirs also was. Mm-hmm. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith,
long-suffering, love,
charity, patience.
Yeah. Verse 11.
Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, mm-hmm. at Iconium, at Lystra. Mm-hmm. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Mm-hmm. Ye and I, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution.
I want to read that again, but I'm going to read it in my version. I want y'all to get this, right? Yes, and all who desire to live godly. Now, do you desire to live godly? Do you desire to live godly? Watch this. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will not might, will suffer persecution. We got to be more inclusive. We got to stop playing church. God is not going to come, watch this, he is not going to come until we do all that we need to do. You got a part to play. You think God's going to send Gabriel down here to preach? Huh? You think Jesus is going to come back and preach and then go back and then come back again? Like, we got a part to play. There is a role that we must play. If you want to hasten the coming of Jesus, it is not to affect global warming. You got. There is a role. I'm about to give you three things here. It's very simple. How can I hasten the coming of God? Because he's not going to come until we've all have the opportunity. We've all heard about salvation. He's not going to come. And that for me is amazing. That for me is amazing. Because I can't tell you how many times I heard about salvation before I actually said, all right. And I grew up in the church. So what about those in some dark, remote parts of the world? Do they not deserve to be saved? Huh? Some of us, we pray, you know, I pray, Lord, come now. But, you know, that's why God is God, and God isn't Chiron. Because God knows that there's somebody, probably in my family, probably me. You know, he knows that if I come now, buddy, you're not going to be, see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You need some more chance. You need some more time. You need some more space. You need. And so what is it that I can do to hasten the coming of God? Before I tell you that, I want to give you one more text. Final text, and I'm going to close. So it's 1:23. I'm going to close at 1:30. Cool, everybody? Right? That's cool. 7 minutes. Seven, you know, perfect number. Right? Cool. All right, so let's go to Revelation real quick. I said one more text? Yes. All right, I'm going to do two. All right, let's go fast. Revelation 14 and 16, all right? I'm going to read it in your hearing. It's on the screen. Revelation 14 to 16. There we go. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having his what? Come on, read with me. Having his what? Head of golden crown, and his hand. Do you know what a sickle is? Huh? No, a sickle is not a sword. It's a what? It's a what? It's a harvesting tool. It's a harvesting tool. So right here, what John is giving you at these descriptions and these analogies, if you think about a farm here, a farm needs to, they got to plant the seed. Then they got to water the seed. And then the seed grows into a little plant. And the plant into a tree. That's where it goes. Jason, is it? I'm right? Tree? That's the plant? Okay. And then the green grass grows running around. Y'all don't know that? Okay, all right, cool. And then the tree grows. And then even after the tree grows, you know how long? There's a mango tree out there. You know how long that mango tree took to bear after it grew? Right? And we just got mangoes last year. And by we, I mean me. I just got mangoes last year. Speak the truth and speak it ever. All right. So what you're getting here, you know, in Revelation is not very difficult to understand. If you think about it in the context of a farmer or farming, you know, you use a sickle to help you reap the harvest. All right. Let's go to the next. Let's go. Is it? And another angel came. Who's the angel? Which angel is this? So this is prior to the three angels' message, right? This is prior. So this is angel number what? Come on, man. Come on. I said it's prior to three angels. So after three is? After three is? Right, Jago? After three is four, right? All right, good. So this right here is the fourth angel. Now, back up, back up. Let me tell you. Angel number one. Let me remind you here what the three angels' messages are. Number one, angel number one said, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Angel number two, talked about systems that are broken and that we need to what? That we need to what? If the system is broken, what do you need to do? Huh? You need to get out of it. Come out of it. The Bible says, come out of it. And then angel number three, it talks about enduring and holding on to God. Now we're at angel number what? All right. What angel number four said? Another angel came out of the temple crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud. Who's sitting on the cloud? Who's sitting on the cloud? Come on, come on, come on. Talk back to me. We're going to go. Who's sitting on the cloud? Son of man, Jesus. All right. Thrust in your sickle. I want to read that one more time. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him. Is it that him? Is it him? Is it that him? Okay, good. Who sat on the cloud, and the angel is saying what? Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap. For the harvest is ripe. So he's not going to come until we're ready. He's not going to come until every single person. If there is, how many billion of persons? No, seven maybe? I don't know. If there are 7 billion people on earth, Jesus is not going to come until he has the opportunity to save every single person. You know why? You know why he has to do that, Kev? Because in the very beginning, he was accused of being unjust. That was the accusation. You're a just person. You're an unjust God. Sorry. And so he got to show that even when we are filthy, even when we're unrighteous, the Bible says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. He that is righteous, let him be right. He's not going to come until he's, the pen of inspiration tells us that we'll have the opportunity to ask, What about Brother Brown? Any Brother Brown in here? Okay. Why is Brother Brown not here? What Brother Brown preach and baptize? Brother Brown, he prayed over the sick. And Jesus, he's going to show you. Pen of Inspiration says he's going to show you the book. Let's skip to Brother Brown's chapter. Because otherwise you're going to think, you're really unjust for real. But when you now see the records, and I don't mean to go too much in prophecy here, but I just hope that y'all don't go look at my records when you get to heaven. So that was the three angels' message, right? The recap. The harvest is ripe. Harvest is ripe. He's telling him, go ahead, reap. Now, last text, then I'm done. I got 1 minute. Hurry up. Jason, hurry up. It's Jason's fault. He's taking too long. Matthew 24, verse 1 to 14. Real quick. Matthew 24, 1 to 14. Matthew 24. So y'all can't hold me because I was ready. Jason isn't. All right. Matthew 24. All right, here we go. Then Jesus sat. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Keep going. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one what? Not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall be torn down. Now, did this happen already? Huh? Did this happen already? Do we know when it happened? When did this happen? All right, so after Jesus' death, after AD. All right, cool. Now as he sat, where we at? Okay, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? You know, when will these things be? And what will be? So the other two questions, right? When will these things be? And what will be the what? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of age? And next verse. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one, include, I'm going to add this, don't deceive yourself either. Don't be watching CNN and seeing all that's happening in the world thinking, all right. I remember like it was yesterday, the last day of 1999. Listen, man, listen. When you consume, and this is right here is a spiritual lesson. When you consume the world more than you consume the word of God, you are going to do second nature things. You're going to respond second nature, meaning automatically, based on what you've been telling yourself. You know what I'm saying? And so because I was consuming more world than I was the word, I'm like, I ain't going out. Y'all, I see the judgment. Y'all, but I'm telling you, man, I remember the church, the Montego Bay Assembly of Venice Church, had a midnight up to, was it all night prayer? Was it all night prayer? I think it was. And you couldn't catch me at that, bro, dead or alive, okay? Number one, I was way too young for that level of spirituality in my mind. And coming up to it, I told my mom, you know, I imagine she was very surprised. I want to come. And this was a time, Tracy and Lisa, you know, they didn't have soft chairs and stuff. It was a bench, hard. I don't know what kind of wood, but the hardest one ever. And it got to a certain part of the night, because it started at sunset, and it got to a certain part of the night when the spirit of sleep was calling my name. And I put some hymnals together, because you can't sleep on the Bible. You can't put your head on the, you know what I'm saying, the hymnal. So I put some hymnals together on a bench in the back, and I got some old programs. Back in the day, I used to print out the program, and I'm trying to make a pillow, and I put my head down, and it was so hard. My neck can't sit. I can't. I'm turning, and they're singing, and they're praying, and their stuff, and I'm just trying to sleep. Because in my mind, if I start sleeping like at maybe 10 or so at midnight, close to it, I'm going to get up, and then I'm going to see Jesus comes. You know, and he's going to catch me in the church, and then I'm going to be saved. It makes sense. 1 + 1 equal what? 5. Yeah? And then Jesus never came. He never came. You know, and that was my missed. That was the radio. That was news. That was me. They didn't have social media at the time, so it was just media. It was school. It was classmates. It was friends. You sat around table or outside under the tree, and you had discussions about what they saw and what their parents said and whose pastor said what. You know what I'm saying? And you tell yourself these narratives. Yeah, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. But this is very clear right here. Don't let nobody deceive you. For many will come in my name saying what? I am Christ and will deceive many. Next verse. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not what? See that you're not what? For all these things must come to pass. But, so remember, what were the two questions? When and the signs. What is this answering? What are these, the signs? All right, cool. We're on the same page. Next verse. For nation will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes and a bunch of stuff going to happen. All right, go. Next verse. And all these things are the? Not the end. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Next verse. Then they will deliver you up from tribulations and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations. For what? For whose name's sake? Yeah, because you are a Christian. You serve God. And next verse. See that? Jasonness. This is the next verse. And then many will be offended. My bad. Sorry, bro. I apologize. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Verse 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Go on, keep going. We got two more. But he who what? What was the third angel's message? Huh? You got to do what? You got to endure. Bible saying right here, he who endures to the end shall what? Shall be saved. And this gospel, the gospel of Jesus. Y'all can play now. The gospel of Jesus. The gospel of the Redeemer. The gospel of the Restorer. The gospel of the Healer. And this gospel will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then, my title was, it's in your mouth. You wanna hasten the coming of the Lord? Yo, start talking about it, bro. Start talking about it. You gotta help. You can hasten it. It's very sad. Some of us, we've lived where we've lived for many years, and we've not one time invite them to church or neighbors. Some of us don't even get along with our neighbors, y'all. There are three ways, and I'm going to pray. There are three ways, three things you could do to hasten the coming of man. Three things. Number one, it's going to be on the screen. The first one, you got to believe it. I know we've been saying Jesus is coming for a very long time. We've been saying it since the New Testament, after death. And some of us are frustrated. And some of us, we've gotten in the routine of coming to church. You pray when you get up every day, study the Word of God, you go to church. But believing something is really different. Because if you believe you can fly, you'll never ever jump from a mountaintop. You'll climb down. We got to get to the place where Jesus really went to prepare a place for us. That he really made that promise. I've gone to prepare a place for you. Yes, you're losing loved ones, but I've gone to prepare a place for you. Yes, there's so many things happening in the world. Wars and rumors of wars. Like, you know, you can't get along with your spouse. You can't find a spouse. You're failing school. You can't get a job. You can't pay your bills. You're doing all that you know to do. And there's so many things happening in the world. But you got to believe it. Because he who endures to the end will be saved. Number one, believe it. Number two, you got to live it. In living what you believe, you don't just talk about it, but you act like it. So if Jesus is coming back, you're going to prepare. You're going to spend every single day preparing. Every moment of your life, you're preparing. It is my desire and my hope that I see everybody that I worship with in heaven, that my entire family is saved. Then when I get to heaven, that family member that I couldn't stand is in heaven with me. And we're like, yay, we made it. We made it because we endured till the end. And now we're going to spend forever with Jesus. But there's one more thing that we could do. There's one more thing that we could do to hasten the coming of the Son of Man. And that's share it. We got to share it. We got to share it. There is somebody that you know that don't know that salvation is a gift. There are people that you know that is in your circle, be it inner circle or outer circle. There are people whose lives are dependent on the type of life that you live, on how you live your life. So you got to spend every waking moment not just talking about it on weekends, in Bible class, in devotion. You got to spend every waking moment talking about Jesus loves you. No, he loves you. You don't got to smoke. You don't got to pick up the gun. You don't got to take drugs. He loves you. He died for you. I know your mama left you. I know you were abandoned. I know you were rejected. I know you were raped. I know you were molested. But I want you to know that your heavenly Father loves you. And there is nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you could do to move out of the reach of his love. His goal is to save you. That's his goal. His goal is to save you. Rich, poor, young, old, white, black, Hispanic, Chinese, Asians. His goal is to save all of us. That's his goal. So we need to make it our goal. You need to make it your goal. One of your spiritual goals should be, I'm going to try and affect everybody I see. You don't got to open your mouth and say, Jesus loves you. But if you're kind to somebody, if you hold the door open, if you share a smile with somebody, if you say a good morning, if you share your lunch, if you give the last dime that you have, if you help those that who are in need and help those who think they have it all together, doing all those things, the Spirit will reveal to you the things to do and the things to say. We just can't be closed off by traditions, y'all. We can't allow culture and traditions and practices. I went to a church one time, and again, I'm not, you know, but I went to a church one time, and I'm just thinking how this could have affected me. And they invited a group of mine to minister at this church, and they told us we couldn't get on the stage because the men, we weren't wearing ties, and the females, they weren't wearing hats. Now imagine that my spiritual relationship was shaky. That could have affected me dangerously. It's what I call spiritual or religious trauma. It is hurt that we endure right here in the house of our Lord. And there is something that we could do to affect positive and spiritual change, and that is to start the change right here within me. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. But Jesus loves us so much that he died for the unjust, for the just, for the holy, for the unholy. It appeared to me there is a word that I would use even if I don't use it out loud. I would use it in my heart, in my mind, and that word is hypocrite. It's in the Bible. And as I looked up the Greek word for hypocrite, I realized I've been using that word incorrectly my whole time, chastising the people of God, chastising myself. Because a hypocrite, when Jesus talks about hypocrites, he's not talking about imperfect people. And oftentimes when we use it, Faina, we use it because you have Christians, in reference to Christians who don't do what they say. That's an imperfect person. They're not going to always get it right. A hypocrite is someone that knows they're imperfect. Right? They know they're imperfect and say they're perfect. And that's something completely different. Jesus is saving, is trying to save everybody. And if you want to make a commitment right now, you know what? I want to do what I can do, all that I can do, to hasten the coming of man. I want y'all to stand with me. Stand with me. Why y'all standing? If there's someone here, I wouldn't be right if I didn't do this. If there's someone here, there's someone here that you have not publicly declared your life. You haven't done it yet. You haven't said, Jesus, I belong to you. My mind is yours. My heart is yours. My soul, my body is yours. If you haven't done that, just raise your hand. If you haven't done that publicly, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Okay, you haven't done it. All right, we're going to pray for you. Come on, put your hands together for somebody. Yeah. All right. We're praying. Father in heaven, Lord, we want you to come. But we understand, Father, that you will not come because you are a loving Father. And so, God, you're waiting until every single person, when they've had the opportunity to really say, remember me. I give my heart to you. I give my mind to you. I give my soul and my body to you. God, we ask that you forgive us of our sins. Father, there's so many things that we've done in contrary to what you've asked us to do. There's so many things, God, that we've done it has caused people to turn away from you. But Father, we still believe in your power. And we still believe that you can reach the unreachable. And so Father, we ask right now that you would give us the tools, give us the knowledge, give us the wisdom, the things to do and not to do, to hasten the coming of the Son of Man. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you for that person that is preparing, that is responding to the Spirit. And they're wanting, Father, to give their hearts and their minds and their souls to you, to declare you the Lord over their lives publicly, to help in spreading the gospel throughout the world. We give you thanks for that individual. We ask, God, that you send angels to guard them, strengthen them where they're weak, that, Father, they'll never go a day without knowing that you're always with them. Thank you for what you've done here today. In Jesus' name we pray.